Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! This will be the 11th day of May 2015, Better Late Than Never edition. Right? Yeah. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to find us on the interweb tubes, which is the only place we exist unless you're listening via applications like TuneIn or Stitcher or, Nokia devices, Roku devices. We're all over the place, everywhere but iTunes Radio, and we're working on that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the first program of the week for the week of May the 11th, 2015. It is Moran Monday on the Horn, and my apologies for the late to air. Our good friends over at the Rick Smith Show sort of forgot to release the stream. Yeah, but that's okay. It's all good. Everything's going to be just dandy. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the Horn, and, the usual notices apply. If you'd like to jump into the chat room, we've got a happy little gang who patiently waited until the program could go live. And with any luck at all... with any luck at all, we will get a program out this evening.
Please, Jeebus.
Yeah. Of course, we've also got a thunderstorm bearing down on us. Uh-huh. We really, really do. And that should be rolling in just any time now. Yeah. We're live. Don't worry, we're live. Oh, rats. See, this thing happens here. Nydia in the chat room noting, I was getting worried, and I was just trying to get a friend in Pittsburgh to listen. Hi, friend in Pittsburgh. Don't run away. Sometimes we're just a little late to the air. Right? Yeah. Good evening to Carol in Australia. Good evening to Chat Room Jesus. Good evening, 4 of 9. Good evening, Labor Man. Good evening, Nydia. Good evening, Texas T. And good evening, Tim from L.A. All capably moderated by a longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who is a third-stage guild navigator and has, in fact, folded space this evening to become Man Cave. And, yes, there are some audio. You will notice some audio differences this evening. Some may be better. Some may be worse. That is because the old, and I told you this was going to happen, the old 10-year-old, more than 10-year-old, 10-year-old mix desk is out, and the not-so-brand-new mix desk is in. Eventually, it will lead to considerably better audio. I got everything repatched last night, but John Fox and I are going to have to tweak some of the audio settings, you know, things like EQ. Got the basics going, but there's a little bit of stuff yet to be done. That's okay. Hopefully it doesn't sound too god-awful. I'm told that Dr. Bill sounded dramatically better earlier today. Thank you for the kind words, Harry. Where to go? Well, like I said, the standard announcements apply. This is listener-supported radio. We have never, ever, ever gotten our George Soros money check, and nothing from the Tides Foundation, and none of them liberals who are trying to destroy America have ever really seen fit to write the big money check here. So that leaves it up to us. You, me, we. We, the people of the horn. Oh, thank you very kindly, Randy and PA, noting you sound fine to me, Bob. Hallelujah. It'll still get even better. There's no corporate sponsors here, no mattresses from which you can pick up bowling balls with your vacuum cleaner, no Bose Wave radio ads, no Snapple ads, no Buy Gold Now. This entirely happens because of you, and it has for 10 years. And we're going to try to raise, $200 this evening. We have in the next few, well, actually slightly past due. Okay, more than slightly. We got $1,000 in bills. And hopefully we'll raise that this week. Last week I announced the effort to try to get a month out, you know, build a month's cushion. so far at least. So hopefully we'll raise $200 this evening. The goal is $1,000 for the week. And we'll just cross our fingers. Thank you very kindly over the weekend to our subscribers whose contributions came in. If you'd like to, you know, at the PayPal interface, headonradionetwork.com, you can always sign up for a recurring subscription. That way you just set it and forget it. Everything from $100 down to $5. So thanks go out to Tony and Linda. Thanks go out to our buddy Dennis, my lawn mowing pal in Kentucky. Thanks also go out to Terrace and Kath and Judy, all of whom are monthly subscribers. It's real easy. So if that's something you'd like to do, just say, hey, I'm good for $10, or I'm good for $50, or I'm good for $100, whatever. We've got a $100 subscriber. Thank you very kindly. Well, jump right in there at the contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. And so there we have it. We're trying to raise $200 this evening. And well, with any luck at all, we will. And then by the end of the week, unless it was to all happen this evening, by the end of the week, there will be some massive amounts of bill paying going on. Thank you very kindly. An anonymous contributor has gotten us started this evening. We now have only $150 to go. And that means we have $950 to go on the week. Thank you. Hallelujah, even. Thank you. So, it is indeed, you know what it is. It's the 11th day of May, but ever so much more than that. Oh, yeah. It's more in Monday. And there you hear it, the horn calliope, 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 calliope. That's one of the things we haven't figured out yet here is the reverb and the echo chamber. But yes, the horn calliope is all powered up, steam pressurized. Uh-huh, yeah.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Exactly. See, I've got a guy. Everything's in different places now. Just takes a minute. Yep. The calliope is in rare form because it's Moran Monday on the horn. Yep. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. Here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear Morans, Morans, Morans. We have them of all variety, all shapes, all sizes. Right-wing Morans, birther, ninther, deather, tenther, booger-eaten, bagger, bircher, libertarian, republican Morans, one and all. Yes, indeed, the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, strychnine-handling, serpent-swilling of all shapes and sizes are here this evening. Yes, indeed. Oh, indeed. I tell you what, for less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too can check behind the thin cybernetic veil and experience shocks to the system, shocks to the conscience, shocks even to the funny bone. A word of warning, friends and neighbors. Deep purses, small children, pets on leashes, all close about you. The Morans can get grabby. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yeah. And I hardly know where to start. We've got some local Moranity, and then some sort of broad-spectrum Moranity. By the way, note coming in, I announced that we do have a $50 contribution. The contributor, anonymous, though this person be, would like to see it matched by 50 more. And hopefully that will indeed happen. Mm-hmm. No, it is Moran Monday, and we got lots of room to work this evening. Now, before it drives poor Tim right out of his tree, we will close down the calliope here. I think it hurts Tim's NSA implant, you know, the one he got from Agent Fred. Okie doke. Yeah. Yeah, I did it to him again, just out of sheer meanness. Calliope! Right. No, where to begin this evening? Well, it's that time of year. In fact, at some point in time, early in June, I will be absent from the microphone long enough to go and see our youngest, the Doodle, graduate from high school. We will be very proud of that. And there's graduations going on all over the place. The right wing had a hissy over Michelle Obama daring to give a graduation commencement address this weekend. They said they much preferred Denzel Washington's, you know, because right wingers are common sewers of commencement addresses. But it was a different. It was a different commencement address that I had in mind. Down at one of them for-profit high schools in Georgistan, there's a place called. And as a hillbilly who has the stuff, or the kinfolk stuff of it, used on his state every day. Something called TNT Academy. And TNT Academy has a principal, and I get the idea that she's not just the principal, she's the maximum dictator for life of TNT Academy. named Nancy Gorduke. We're gonna assume that it's Gorduke. G-O-R-D-E-U-K, Gorduke. Uh-huh. Well, Nancy Gorduke is the principal and maximum dictator for life of TNT Academy in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And, well, she is apparently she's apparently the head Moran in chief, too. So here's how it shakes out. They had graduation down to TNT Academy. I have yet to see what TNT stands for. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is a double-barreled Moran nomination. Yeah. Because it comes with a denouement. So we'll start. We will start with what happens when the graduation proceedings went a bit awry because Nancy Gorduke, I don't know. But anyway, Nancy decided that she was going to run the graduation and then she kind of forgot her agenda. Okay? I'm trying to make this make as much sense as possible. And by way of forgetting the agenda, what we mean is that she forgot the valedictorian. Yeah. I mean, the salutatorian and the valedictorian are kind of the heart and soul, aren't they, of the whole graduation process. And then she forgot that she forgot. This is it's a little complicated, really. And folks began getting up thinking that the event was, well, over. Okay? This did not sit well with Nancy Maximum TNT Academy. And remember, if you want to have a real highfalutin, fancy kind of private school down that way, it has to be a academy, right? Yeah. I mean, let's go to the news report. This is getting too complicated. Wait, we may finally know. Welcome to TNT Academy. The purpose of TNT Academy is to encourage academic success by providing opportunities for students to develop strengths and overcome challenges. TNT provides a personalized and positive learning environment which enables each student to reach their potential. Never really felt that way about TNT before, but I'm guessing this wasn't started with seed money from Turner Network Television TNT founder Ted Turner. Anywho, we'll go to the audio to let him explain why it is that, well, that Nancy Gorduc is our lead nominee today for More In Monday. Because she is. She really, really is.
Commencement controversy. A principal of a school in DeKalb County loses her temper, and this is what she recorded saying at the podium in front of the entire graduating class.
It was my fault that we missed it in the program.
Her comments were in response to people leaving before the valedictorian speech. But she tells CBS 46's Dante Brunzulli the video doesn't tell the whole story. He's live with her response to the internet outrage. Dante.
Oh, Mike, yeah, we're at the TNT Academy here in Stone Mountain. That woman featured in the video is the principal and founder of the private school. Now, this video has really been making the rounds on the internet. A lot of...
I told you she was maximum dictator for life of TNT Academy.
People saw it, and because of that, she's been getting hate mail and even death threats.
Really? Death threats? Are you going to show them to us, Nancy? Of course not.
But today, she's apologizing on camera, and we were the first television station to speak with her.
The very first television station. Live action news team eyewitness... Right.
I'm sorry this has gotten all blown out of proportion.
See, it's been blown out of proportion. There she was, standing up there in her cap and her gown, leaning into the microphone saying, "See, all the black people are leaving." And that's been blown out of proportion, you understand, because she's a moron. And morons should be able to just say that.
It's just part of the video is being seen and not the whole.
Nancy Gorduc and her school are in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons.
Well, I mean, depends on how... Look, we might have to have an adjunct nomination for the reporter there. What does that mean, for all the wrong reasons? I think she's in the spotlight for the right reason. The spotlight's being shown upon her because she's a moron. Which is the right reason. Now, being a moron is maybe wrong, but it's not the wrong reason. What?
Captured by a spectator in the crowd of this graduation, the video shows the principal's reaction to what she's calling rude disruptions during the ceremony. She says she was frustrated because people were not paying attention and were about to miss a speech from the student with the highest grades. But she says the video takes her remarks out of context. She says moments before she said what she did, a man was causing a disruption in the audience, and it made her very agitated to the point...
Really? It made her very agitated?
...where she was not herself.
I told my husband it didn't even sound like me or feel like me even saying it.
She had a moron out-of-brain experience, I guess. We're going to find out one of the other fun things about these academies is that they are also quite often religioned up. So, dang it, I wish we'd figured out that. Okay, I still got it. So we won't have any reverb here, and you'll just have to imagine the echo and stuff like that. But the question, Nancy Gorduc, that wasn't you hollering, "Look who's leaving, all the black people." Who possibly could it have been? Nancy Gorduc.
I'd like them to know that I apologize to everyone in attendance there. I'm sorry for what I said. Like I said, the devil was in the house.
Devil made her do it. Yep. The 11th of May, 2015, and you've got a high school principal, maximum dictator for life, who is utilizing the Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, the Geraldine defense. See, I think it's more a case of Mel Gibson than Flip Wilson. Although, to his credit, at the time that Mel Gibson got popped for DUI and started screaming about, the Jews, it's all the Jews, they're all Jews! Well, he was good and liquored up. Apparently, Nancy Gorduk does not have that, out. At least she hasn't admitted to it yet. No, the devil was in the house. Because it is Georgia, Stan. You reckon TNT Academy gets any federal dollars or state of Georgia monies for educating underprivileged cheerings? Do you?
Gorduk says she really understands the gravity of her remarks now, and she's already experiencing the consequences.
Yeah, she's got consequences. And now she understands the gravity. Back when the devil was in her and making her lean over toward that podium and hollering at all the black people, well, she didn't understand because the devil had control of her mind.
All these people from across the country, we've gotten over 100 emails, and they have been vulgar and really terrible.
They've been terrible and vulgar. And she didn't deserve none of it. Because, I mean, if you're going to be vulgar, and you ought not be vulgar, that's one of them things they teach there at TNT Academy. If you're going to be vulgar to the devil, because the devil doing it.
Yeah, the principal had a lot more to say on that subject. That was only a small portion of that interview. We'll get you some more of her remarks later tonight at 11. Also, we'll have reaction from people who were in the crowd during that ceremony.
Yeah, let's take a pass. Back to you, Phil. Right. But like I said, this is a multi-layered Moran nomination. She gets it going, but Mama raised her a son, and I tell you what, I'm looking here at a picture of Travis Gorduk with his hat on and the brim pulled up like it's a half of a medieval or Renaissance halo, only it's orange and kind of grimy. Because Mama was talking about how people was booger. Apparently she knows from whence she speaks. Because her little boy, Travis, and by little boy I mean young adult, he took to his Facebook page. It has since been deleted, but the Facebook forgets nothing. He took to his Facebook page to say, y'all niggers ain't talking shit, so if you got something to say, come see me to my face-to-face. See me face-to-face. Yeah, because Travis is going to fight for his mama's honoree. And then he had... Then he replaced the post once he disappeared it. He replaced it with one saying, I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day, and to everyone to gear our people hating getting on my page and posting shit, so I'm sorry in advance if it hepper books. This is some of the literary skills that they apparently teach there at the TNT Academy. So Mama knows a little bit about vulgar. They do. Now you can't blame Travis for all that poor typing in the Mother's Day greeting, because I've checked in, and apparently his baby sister Chlamydia Jean, she was throwing rocks at him at the time. And he was distracted. Travis was. Right. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. BobKincaid@gmail.com. That's the email address, by the way. Ron says, didn't you just know it? When this clip started, I just knew I was taken out of context, was going to pop up. What was the proper context, pray tell? Well, see, the proper context was to not play the clip, Ron. Okay? That's the proper context. When you catch one of these right-wing dirtbags that's full of Jesus but got a devil leak, you don't play it when the devil gets loose in the room, because that just makes the devil happy. You understand now? Okay. That's your proper context. Don't play it when racists embarrass themselves. Well, not embarrass themselves. Don't play it when racists behave like, well, you know, racists. Mm-hmm. So that's Moran number one. Yea, verily, we hath more Morans. And I had it in the list, but you guys don't miss a trick. Jenny up in Fitzwalker stand reminded me of this one. And it's a dandy. This was at the South Carolina Freedom Summit. By the way, on June the 1st, hold on to your hats. We have had word from the old family plantation down at known as Smoldering Chode, that Desert Storm war hero Lindsey Graham has a very, very important announcement to make on June the 1st, and ain't hardly nobody can probably guess what it might be. Some people are wondering if he is pregnant with the child of with the illegitimate child of John McCain, but I don't think that's what it is. Some people are thinking he's going to open the ancestral family plantation to show to the public its collection of Baroque closets, all of which at one time or another Lindsey has lived in. But I don't think it's that either. No, so just watch this space, and come, June the 1st, we'll have a big old sweaty, hairy, exciting announcement from Lindsey Graham about something. I don't know. Maybe he's got his invitation from to the barbecue down to Fair Oaks. We're not sure. But anyway, they had their South Carolina Freedom Summit in Greenville, South Carolina over the weekend at the Peace Center. And they was a summit and ride along, and of course the only people that can ever attend down in South Carolina stand, the only people who ever attend a freedom summit are freedom-loving people. And that means only Republicans, because Democrats just don't love freedom. No, they don't. They're collectivists and communists and liberals and atheists and all kinds of mean, nasty things. All right? So they don't, them liberals, they don't love freedom, so they don't go to freedom summits. And it's only Republicans, because Jesus. And that's when a lady stood up to try to explain what Merca's immigrant problem is all about. Are we ready? Do we have our hockey puck? Because I realize it's probably a little too warm in South Carolina stand for hockey, but hockey pucks still come in right handy.
Our time is up. Which one of you is Dave Bossy's mother-in-law? Where are you? You're over here? I was told that if I didn't end with you, he would kick my butt. So I'm going to give you the microphone.
Now, why does Dave Bossy matter? Dave Bossy matters because Dave Bossy is the president of Citizens United. And when he says he's going to kick your butt, he has millions of butt-kicking dollars to do it with, and you might never wind up hosting no Freedom Summits in Greenville, South Carolina, not never again. So take it away, David Bossy's mother-in-law.
And I want you to give advice to the 2016 candidates. What do they need to know?
Now granted, okay, she's over there by the corner. He had to walk off the stage. He's got his Mikey phone with him. And I, just before she gets started, I want you to understand that this is not, in fact, this is not the same woman who was a howling at who was it? Bro Fro Mix, Rick Santorum. This is not the same woman who was howling at Rick Santorum about that one in our White House, trying to set off a nuclear device and nuke Charleston, South Carolina, to the point that it looked like Charleston, West Virginia, and you couldn't tell the difference. This is not that woman, although one wonders if they might be neighbors and share a fence.
One man, one vote. People are coming in this country across the borders like rats and roaches in the woodpile.
Our time is up. Which one of you is Dave? Our time is up.
No.
So I'm going to give you the microphone, and I want you to give advice to the 2016 candidates. What do they need to know?
One man, one vote. People are coming in this country across the borders like rats and roaches in the woodpile. We've got a state like Minnesota that says it's not our business to check them out. We just register them. We've got to get control. That's what they need to know, and they need to get that law passed.
She got the microphone, and she ain't giving it back.
Years ago, I might have been a Democrat, but I saw the problem, and I went to the Republican Party. I didn't wait on them to come look for me. Why do these young people have to be solicited? We are all intelligent people. We need to be voting our convictions and choose a party.
Now, all right, is anybody surprised that a sweet Southern belle like David Bossy's mother-in-law would get up there and compare immigrants to the new United States of America to rats and roaches? No, we are not at all surprised. And I reckon we're not surprised by the fact that all them fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered white folks would have sit there and applaud and a clap and a hoot like barn owls. No, we're not surprised by that either, because they are, after all, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Merkin-loving Republicans who love freedom. America. Wolverines! Got to get them FX sorted out. Those are the moments when you learn the most about your average garden variety gutter snipe Republican. People who come to this country willing to work for next to nothing, seeking only freedom, because see, ain't got none of that freedom down there. They're rats and roaches. I wonder if when she's getting her toilet swabbed, she hollers, "Lupe, my little cucaracha, come in here and get me a Darvon and a margarita, please." I swear, sometimes it's like the miracle worker around here. I said Darvon. Donde está my Darvon? Mama needs a lore tab. Yeah, see, she admits to having once been a Democrat, and as a Democrat, let me say I'm awfully glad to have David Bossy's mother-in-law not in the party anymore. But see, she was a Democrat back when Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act and said we had lost the South for a generation, and he was right. And David Bossie's mother-in-law said, well, hell no, if them people's going to be in my party, I ain't going to be in it. Because they's like, well, I mean, if she was describing immigrants as roaches and rats, just imagine how she was talking about those people. And, of course, there's the central question to be answered. Ron and Raleigh asking, I wonder, was Mother Bossy taken out of her context? I'm sure she was. She meant rats and roaches in only the nicest way, and the video doesn't show an incident that had occurred back before she said rats and roaches. You know, the election of Barack Hussein Obama to the presidency of the new United States of America, and as we speak, he is getting ready to invade Texas from the secret tunnels underneath all them Walmarts. God bless them. Oh, I tell you. So that's where we are. That's just the first two nominees. Granted, the first nominee had. Was a threefer. There were three nominees in one. But then there's Mother Bossy, and I swear, I think she's given Principal and Maximum TNT Academy Dictator for Life, Mrs. Gorduke, a run for her money so far. But we may yet have a couple of challengers coming up on the inside along the rail, so I wouldn't run away if I was you. No. So that having been said, we will take a little break. Remember, our kind anonymous contributor would like to see somebody match the $50 that was just thrown into the pot we try to raise. Remember, $200 an evening, and we got more than in excess of $1,000 in bills to pay this week that kind of need to be paid, but you get the idea. PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. And you can always participate via the United States Postal Service with checks and money orders sent to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801, with the kind and gentle reminder that they should never be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but to The Horn, as that is all within Boss Man Wayne's bailiwick, and he takes care of that stuff. And if you want to do that and you send me a little note saying it's on the way, I can tell Boss Man Wayne he doesn't have to wear the spider-proof gloves when he reaches into the echo chamber. Okie dokie. All right. So, a little break, and a little something for Mother Bossy, and that's Bossie, by the way, if you're looking her up on the interweb tubes. A little something for Mother Bossy, a long-distance dedication. This is Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn.
25 Mexican, live in the house where I was born. That's fine. Don't worry me none, I got nothing against them Mexicans. I watch them work like the work of bees, building them roads, chopping down trees, doing a job my kind won't. Sometimes they smile, most times they don't. Across was born in my man's dream. To a better life we've ever seen. From home, they have to come, make some money, and send it home. In the trailer trucks, in the minivans, pack it like a sardine, in a sardine can. Oh, damn, mama, mama, leave the candles burn. Mexico, in the boiling heat of a Texas sun, left to die, and her down go, about a half of a mile from Mexico. You drive the truck, boy, that's the deal. You just a guy behind a wheel. Get the money on you can. Don't worry about them Mexicans. Oh, their mama, mama, leave the candles burn for one day.
Yes, of course, I'm sure Mother Bossy would have preferred that all those rats and roaches had just stood there and died in the Texas sun about a mile from Mexico. The inimitable, the great, the incomparable, Phil Lee, 25 Mexicans. This is the horn for the 11th day of May 2015. Indeed, more in Monday. Mother Bossy. I'm surprised she's not the mother of the Citizens United, the some bitch. Seems like the kind that could easily raise one of them. Sort of puts a sort of vomit in the back of your throat taste on the day after Mother's Day, doesn't it? Yeah. Let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, Carol Baker.
Well, how are you, Bob?
I'm just dandy. Is the gizmo working okay to you? Or, I mean, not the gizmo, but the Skype.
It's working just fine.
Awesome. How in the world are you?
I am fine. I'm doing good. Been working real hard.
Toddling around in Agnes's Rolls Royce. I've seen that.
I couldn't resist.
Well, heavens no.
I promised I did not lay a finger on the cabana boy, though.
Well, he'd never.
But I did let him polish my headlights.
Yeah, he'd never tell if and you did. See, that's the, yeah. What happens in the cabana stays in the cabana.
But yeah, it's $239,000 1962 Rolls Royce Cloud II. Somebody had to do it.
Oh, yeah. And what's that? What's that thing got? Like a 32 cylinder engine in it or something?
Something like that.
The same engine they put in the Spitfire during World War II, maybe?
Something like that. It's a beautiful car, though. It's got these beautiful, in the back seat, it's got these beautiful fold-down teak trays that are polished to this beautiful mirror finish. So, you have a place to put your tequila.
And there's probably a little place to tuck away the hopefully non-toxic swirly straw.
You know, I was so upset about that, buddy, but I had to tell you.
Well, I know.
One of the 10 most toxic items you can purchase at the dollar store is a swirly straw.
I'll be. Because it's deemed not for children, right?
Yeah, and yeah, because they technically it's not for kids, so they sell them. Because it's okay to poison big people.
And this is like some sort of god-awful word you can't produce, you can't pronounce, kind of, you know, 72-syllable science language poisons?
That would be it.
Yeah.
But it makes your jewels shrivel and, you know, I thought you should know that.
I can't stand any more of that.
But in honor of Moran Monday, I could not think of a better Moran to bring out to the forefront than our old pal George Zimmerman.
Oh, good shooting, Zim.
No kidding. This is a guy that he's been going around and around with. A couple of months ago, he was like, "Do you know who I am?" Flashed his gun, did it again today, and this time the guy shot back.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah, but he did not get shot in the face. He was hit in the face with glass and taken to the hospital. He walked into the ambulance on his own steam. News reports say the wounds were minor. Doctors say he's alert and racially profiling comfortably.
I don't doubt it. Don't send me that, nurse.
Yeah.
She's making me fearful.
You know, at what point does...
I'll lay my ground.
At what point do we decide that man is too crazy to have a gun?
That status does not exist in the United States.
He's going to kill somebody. And I don't understand why everybody keeps dropping the charges against him. He's had 3 domestic violence situations with 3 different women. He has been called for walking around waving a gun. He has been waving a gun in traffic. He threatens people all the time. I'm George Zimmerman. I'm untouchable. And so far, that's been the case.
Well, whoever was doing the shooting earlier today, had apparently not been to an authorized, certified National Republican Rifle Association gun handling freedom protecting class. That just means we need more of those, doesn't it?
Some bitch missed.
Maybe it was just a warning shot.
Dummy.
God, no, really. There's no such thing as there's no such place as you ought not really have a gun in this country. I've still got it sitting in my collection of many tabs on my tablet. You know, I mean, naturally, that's where you keep your tabs. Story coming out of USA Today, and well, you're the ancestral home of the fabulous Baker Girls, Iowa.
Yes.
I mean, this goes back, oh, golly. Yeah, this goes back to September of 2013, but it's worth reminding people of. In the state of Iowa.
Yes.
Hi, Barbie. If you want a gun permit and you are blind... And, you know, we have a good number of people with visual difficulties who are part of the Horn Family Commune congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be taken as offending anybody's freedom protecting abilities. But yeah, up in Iowa, if you're blind, you can get you a pistol permit.
Of course. They like their shooters like they like their politicians.
Oh, the I love this story, though. Cedar County Sheriff Warren Withington, I don't know if he's still sheriff or not, but he demonstrated to the Des Moines Register how visually impaired people can be taught to shoot. I don't think it's the teaching to shoot part that's a problem, is it? I mean, it's pretty much...
Oh, no, they can shoot just fine.
Is it the aiming?
It's the aim that's
it's the aiming part.
Yeah.
Somehow I can just see the Sheriff Withington, what is it? Yeah, Warren Withington staring down the business end of a 44 Magnum. Am I doing it right, Sheriff? No.
Well, it isn't exactly like the deer go, "We're over here."
Oh mercy! But was the latest Zim incident? Was it in Florida, Stan?
Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
His old hunting.
So he's
ground.
Gone. Yeah, he's gone. I was gonna say he's gone back to his old stomping grounds.
Yep.
Well, his old stalking grounds.
Yes, and I misspoke. I said he's going to kill someone. He already did.
Well, there is that.
I meant he's going to kill someone else.
Right. We do try to correct our errors here at the Horn. God Almighty.
And you know, and it just depends on who has the gun, because there was a situation in South Carolina. Black man called the police. He was being burglarized, and it was the police who shot him.
Well, you saw what happened up in New York, right? The four people of color traveling in one automobile together, all wearing bulletproof vests, and some terrified white person called and said, "There's a bunch of them people running around. I think they got the bulletproof vests, and I think the terrorists." And the city cops showed up, and they roar, and they pulled their car in at an angle like they do, you know, and they stopped everything, and they put out a sweat condition alpha all points bulletin. We've got a car full of dark skinned people where. And they were every last one of them, and they had necklaces on, and they had big shiny gold plated badges. What they were four duly sworn parole officers of the state of New York, and the cops pulled them over, got them out of the car, arrested them. You know, for being
melanin enhanced.
Melanin enhanced. There we go. Because you know, just because a black person is wearing a badge around their neck, I mean, there was that little feller back from years ago on MTV wore a clock hanging on a chain around his neck, and some people been walking around wearing Mercedes-Benz hood ornaments around their neck, and the next thing you know, they're gonna be wearing stars. I mean, what's the difference between a five-pointed sheriffy looking star? And a Mercedes Benz a hoard ornament,
or a Rolls Royce hood ornament.
Oh, now. Because you know freedom.
Yeah, well, freedom is only for white people.
Yeah. I mean that's why they had all that big old hissy when Michelle Obama, like I said, gave a commencement speech, and they said she turned that commencement into something that's all about her, because she's up there talking about what it was like to be, you know, she gave the commencement address down at Tuskegee College, which is a historically black college in Alabama.
I heard that woman speak. She did not go all shenane on them.
To hear the right wingers, she did.
Oh, please.
Because Denzel Washington gave a much better speech.
Her husband's coming for their guns, and she's coming for their candy.
Hate-filled racists like FLOTUS are fed hate at home and in their schools growing up. It is learnt behavior.
Well, no, they know.
at FLOTUS, you are a race-baiting failure, just like the hashtag liar you married. Yeah, all because she said that that she had been treated a little bit differently than, say, Pat Nixon or Betty Ford or Rosalind Carter or Hillary. Yeah.
They treated her differently?
Yeah.
And how would that be?
Well, they, you know... Because she thinks racism still exists in the new United States when it clearly doesn't. The American she-devil, driven purely by anger, resentment, and blind racial entitlement, despicable. Of course, that's...
I tend not to read the comment section from the collective Cleti.
Cletus Moraniensis?
Yes.
The FLOTUS and Barack Obama is trying to start a race war in America. Hashtag wake up America.
I don't know. Didn't we just have the Southern Poverty Law Center on? I don't believe they named the president and the first lady as a hate group.
See, that was because he had to leave. If he'd been here more time, Mark would have recognized it, I'm sure. No. And they's all upset because she flies in a jet. Mm-hmm. And all those tax-paid shopping vacations are so oppressive to Her Highness. Because I reckon the First Lady of the United States, you know, when she happens to be wrong colored, is supposed to wear old feed sacks.
Or a tube top.
Oh, no fair tube top.
Listen, when she dresses casually, then all you hear about is how ghetto she looks. When she dresses nicely, supposedly she's doing it all on the taxpayer dime because she doesn't have any money of her own.
No. Oh. I mean, this
There's a thought. She should have shown up in a burqa.
And Deborah on the Twitter, FLOTUS all caps, of course. They can't help typing in all caps. It's all they got. FLOTUS with a penis million. Wait a minute. This sounds like one of the forgotten lyrics to Royals or something. FLOTUS with a penis million-dollar vacations with Oprah, Gail, FLOTUS, Val, Jarrett, sodomites, all Satan.
Is there a thought in there somewhere?
And we are morons, morons. Drinking Bailey's from a shoe. No, I don't know. Again, that's...
Was that English? I mean...
I swear to God, it's all caps. I'm reading it to you. I mean, there's no punctuation. At Akahwit1 apparently got up and turned on CBS this morning and just come all unglued all to once and had the caps lock on and was just possessed or something. FLOTUS with a penis million-dollar vacations with Oprah, Gail, FLOTUS, Val, Jarrett, sodomites, all Satan.
Okay.
Maybe that last one was supposed to be a hail Satan, but she would come up to 100, she come up one character short.
Okay.
Yeah, the Aricept wasn't working for Deborah that morning.
Well, it just, the stupidity of people kind of amazes me, and it's like, it's no wonder we have to have a whole day dedicated to the Morans, because they have a whole group of people dedicated to wanting to be just like them.
Right, wanting to be them. Yeah.
Or be them. There was a conspiracy theorist that popped up on my timeline yesterday, which was really weird. I got rid of him. But I thought he was talking about chemtrails. So I asked him what the difference was between a jet contrail and a chemtrail. Now, here was his answer. Jet contrails are nothing more than condensed water vapor from aircraft flying above 33,000 feet. Chemtrails are biological agents dumped in the atmosphere at altitudes just below that. So we know it can't be harmless jet vapor. And I said, so you can tell the difference between a contrail and a chemtrail because of the altitude of the aircraft leaving them? Now you get it! And I said, okay, so tell me from the ground, how can you tell the difference between a jet flying at 32,000 feet and 33,000 feet?
And the answer was?
Fine, go ahead and be a slave to the propaganda that they're harmless, you stupid liberal.
Veal pen!
I said, I didn't say I didn't believe you. I asked how you could tell the difference between a jet flying at 33,000 feet and a jet flying at 32,000 feet.
Some people are just too stupid to get it.
Okay, so there you have it. You can tell because I'm a stupid liberal. Case dismissed.
Well, you give off them stupid liberal rays and everything, Carol.
Well, I kind of radiate liberal. I can't help it. I can't help it.
And well, just to fill in one more little old blank in regard to the fact that our uppity First Lady decided to speak before she was spoken to a whole bunch of people.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I mean, she was a-talking and everything, you know, there in Tuskegee. At Bloodless _coup... There's a Twitter handle, but she just goes. Everybody else just calls her Annie. You know, her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Dear FLOTUS, I think I speak for many Americans when I say, and again with the all caps, if you don't like being the only black girl in sight, West Baltimore can have you.
The only woman of color in sight in Washington, D.C.?
Or the only black woman in sight at Tuskegee University? I mean, what? Excuse me?
Yeah.
I mean, have they imposed racial quotas to get Bush family members in at Tuskegee now? I mean, I don't know what. But no, the only black girl in sight.
Girl. I see, not woman.
No.
Girl.
No, she's not self-actualized enough to, not, because, well, Jesus Christ. Ain't it precious? But no, you were
okay.
You were talking about Zim a little bit ago.
Yeah.
We had a note coming from Greg out in Iowa. He said that wasn't a warning shot because people firing warning shots go to jail, at least those who are black. Remember the black lady in Florida who went to jail for firing a warning shot? I'll bet this white guy doesn't.
He probably won't.
No. I mean, well, hell, you know, if he took better aim, there's probably people out there would be either trying to kill him or get him a medal.
Throw him a ticker tape parade.
Or
I'd be on that committee.
Or to paraphrase Ron and Raleigh paraphrasing the complaints about the First Lady, to paraphrase Wolf Blitzer, so well to do. I got that wrong. From the society section of ABC7 Eyewitness News. Just a little bit of an update from last week. Remember the two fellas that were going to have White Appreciation Day at the barbecue joint?
Yeah.
Well, he received criticism and a bomb threat.
Oh, horse shit.
Yeah, I know. Prove it. But they've now said that White Appreciation Day discount will apply to all customers, even if they're not white.
Right. What are they serving? Burnt ends?
Oh, them's tasty.
I know. But I figured after the cross burning, you know.
No, I get it. I get it. Precious. I thought earlier when you brought up Zim, I thought for sure you would then take us on a road trip up to Kentucky Stan.
But why?
Because there was some freedom protecting went on in Kentucky Stan over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing says Mother's Day like plugging Mama. And I don't mean in a good way. A Louisville, Kentucky woman is said to be recovering nicely today, having been shot Saturday night. But by her 2-year-old. Her 2-year-old belt boy, Saturday night, tried to blow Mama away.
Really?
Alicia Smiley is a police spokesperson for the Louisville PD, and she said that Mama, who was in her 30s, was one of 3 adults in the home at the time of the incident, and she's recovering at a hospital. And her injuries are thought not to be life-threatening. Apparently, her boy, her little 2-year-old, was not quite as good a shot as the 2-year-old out in Idaho Stan was. Because that, you know, out in Idaho Stan, they start teaching them to shoot young. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But this is my favorite part of the story. See if you can hear this sentence without hooting like a barn owl. It was not immediately clear how the toddler got his hands on the gun, but police said that they were continuing to investigate.
Maybe she was nursing and she was wearing one of them gun bras, nursing bras.
That come to mind. Or maybe she had her freedom protecting purse. Because apparently 2-year-olds have no problem getting after a firearm and a freedom protector purse. But even, Carol, even more... Even more elementary than that, if we can use the word, it was not immediately clear how the toddler got his hands on the gun. I read that and I thought, well, it is plenty clear to me.
Yeah.
Somebody brought a gun into the house. Because I'm pretty sure that the 2-year-old didn't toddle down to Billy Bob's Freedom Protecting and Wolverine's Emporium there in Louisville and get himself a Glock 19 and come home and try to waste Mommy. A grown-up had to bring that firearm into that house, and Mommy had to be okay with it.
Absolutely.
That's how the toddler got his hands on a firearm. Sounds like the Louisville PD may need either the press spokesperson may need a little help, or the detective division may. But see, even in the free state of Louisville, and that's what Corey has taught us to call it, because it's not the same as the rest of Kentucky Stan. But even in the free state of Louisville, it's still Kentucky. And if you go politicking about how maybe guns ought not be kept around 2-year-olds, your ass will not have an elected office job no more. Because remember, it was Kentucky where the little 4-year-old got hold of the Cricket 22 single shot rifle that Daddy had bought him to teach him to freedom protect with, and blew away his 2-year-old sister. And of course, what we were immediately told, you may recall that story, what we were immediately told out of that was to quit politicizing a horrible tragedy.
Right, because we're the ones who do that.
Yeah.
Because we're just... this thing about dead kids.
It was not immediately clear how the 4-year-old got his hands on the Cricket rifle, except to say that the Cricket rifle was purchased down to the local Wally World and brought into the house. I remember the night we talked about that story, because the Cricket rifle is even offered, Carol, in pink.
Well, isn't that precious?
Yes, indeed.
Because little Coitus has to have her gun too.
Mm-hmm. You mean little Chlamydia Jean?
Little Chlamydia Gene. Little Chlamydia Gene Jr.
She's got a precious little sister named Rosacea.
Well, I have a story closer to home. This one's for the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan.
Yes.
In Lawrence, Kansas, which is a heavily progressive area with a large African-American community, the owner of the Payless Furniture Store has shuttered his business and put a big sign out front that says, "Goodbye, Obamaville." And in the O, there's a Soviet hammer and sickle.
Of course, there always is.
And it says, "Lawrence, commie and candy-ass capital of Kansas." And then on the back side of the sign, it says, "Restore freedom. Even retards want to be free. Reject Marxism. Government control, regulation, political correctness, entitlement, quotas, set-asides, affirmative action, diversity instead of merit, and all of the other discriminatory, racist, and un-American policies which have destroyed free speech, free enterprise, and America itself." Yes, that's what it says. Even retards want to be free. And then there's the third side of the truck.
Wait, what? There's three sides of the truck?
Yeah, it's like a three-sided sign.
Is this like something out of Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know.
Them weird-ass dice.
It says, you're going to have to put down your hammer and sickle and restock your candy supply, because that side takes a while to read. Among the highlights, one panel titled "Lawrence City Lib Facts" touts Lawrence as the number one city in the U.S. to be a homeless bum and being a magnet for urban rats from Chicago and the East Coast.
Again with the rats.
Not to be a geographic snob, though, the panel also points out that Lawrence is a refuge for welfare lowlifes from Kansas City, Kansas, and Topeka. Well, apparently his customers don't care for him either, because this review from November 1st, 2014 says he's a rude, offensive bigot. The reviewer goes on to say that he went on a rant about Lawrence and Kansas University because they have the highest percentage of N people in the state. Another reviewer describes the incident where the owner started ranting about black people. He used the N-word, ruining Kansas. Evidently, Fry felt it was fine to talk to his customers that way because he's white. And he's got an ad. There's an ad in the story from 2007 featuring Fry as the Sofa King because he's Sofa King racist.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So he just had to leave Lawrence because there were just too many N's and libs and Marxists and liberals. And so he just had to shutter his business and say goodbye.
You left out pansies and pinkos.
Commies and candy asses.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's what he called them.
All right. Well, yeah. It's interesting you bring up Kansasstan because I had a note earlier today from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan, Carol.
Yes.
Oh, gag, she writes. Here is part of Republican U.S. Congressman Tim Holtzkamp's email newsletter to constituents. It was sent to me by email a few minutes ago. National Day of Prayer. Thursday was National Day of Prayer. My staff and I went to several events across the district to pray for our state and our country. If you've been tuned into the news of the last few weeks, you know that the world we live in needs prayer. The earthquake in Nepal, the terrorists' attack in Texas, riots in Baltimore, and the ongoing deterioration of our families. Our nation needs prayer as much as it ever has. That may be, that's probably the truest statement, though, thus far. Zero does equal zero. Please take a moment to pray for our nation. Pray for our nation to turn toward righteousness. Pray for strong families, traditional marriage, and the right to life. More than 20 million children live in a home without the physical presence of a father. It's an epidemic in our country.
children need their parents' support and God in their lives. May God bless and protect our United States of America. And Diane, in of course her natural state of marvelous coherence, said, "The nerve he has to conflate God, country, and righteousness with all this blather, and to think that readers will find it normal. These people are in a trance." And then, of course, what I jumped on when I read it earlier today is this went out, as Diane notes, it got to her by email just a little bit earlier today. And, you know, Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. So with yesterday being Mother's Day, more than 20 million children live in a home without the physical presence of a father. So all those mamas out there who have spent all that time raising all them youngins without daddy, well, you know, it's just a bunch of screw-ups. And that's why America's in the terrible. If they'd had fathers in their household, they wouldn't be out there thinking it was all right to get all homo married. Nice timing, Tim Hooskamp. And what does that mean, without the physical presence of a father? Carol, is that a backhanded stab at the divorce? Because, I mean, remember, Jesus did say divorce is illegal.
No, it's a backhanded stab at the wrong coloreds, because, you know, 72% of all black children are born out of wedlock, so it's about the black whores and the black pimps, and that was a racial stab.
Okay, well, I appreciate it then, because sometimes I have a hard time separating my racism from my misogyny.
Well, there's a little bit of both in there. He definitely won the Daily Double on that one. Did he go for the fucktard trifecta? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. And by the way, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Dan, you have conjured her. And she says, "Lawrence is well to be rid of that guy. Lawrence is the best place to live in Kansas. Thanks, Carol, for the news." Signed, Diane. Awash in marvelous coherence. I do. I want to send Diane a T-shirt, and I want it in hot pink, with sparkle script across it, and it just says marvelously coherent. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Oh hell yeah. Oh yeah, we could do that. We could do that. Diane deserves blame. Anybody who stays in that godforsaken hellhole of a state deserves everything we can send her.
Absolutely. Carrying on the struggle.
But she's right. Lawrence is like this island of sanity.
Oh, Lawrence is a nice place.
It is. I love Lawrence.
And Manhattan ain't terrible either.
No, but I really, the school is there.
But on the other hand, you know, that the original Kansas story you shared with us, Carol, makes me think that one of the Westboro Baptist folks has done opened a furniture store in Lawrence.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there, because I'm telling you, we got a whole, listen, the Morans are busting out the gates here.
Oh, crawling through the cracks in the, yeah.
That's why I tell people, you have to donate to the horn, because even the handlers have to eat.
And I tell you what, sometimes the handling is more than most folks can bear.
That is right. But I'm glad to be
by the way, we've been corrected, apparently. Apparently Diane does not do well with hot pink. A shade of blue would be good, she says.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, maybe a bright cobalt. None of that Tar Heel blue.
Whatever she wants.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that was my brief perusal of the news today. But I just wanted to call in and say hello. I've missed you.
Oh, we've missed you terribly, and I know you've been up to your absolute eyeballs in Hootervillia.
You have no idea.
I mean, did y'all just have a fun one blow across you not too long back? Is that the one that's landed on us in a little bit?
Yesterday, we had 5.5 inches of rain.
Yeah, because right before airtime, it started getting real dark out in the west. And there was a severe thunderstorm warning or watch or something issued by the NOAA National Storm Center, which, incidentally, is located in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Which is like putting the National Fire Prevention Center in hell. I mean, what's going to happen when one of them big old F5 sons of bitches comes along and blows away the National Storm Center? Wouldn't you want to put the National Storm Center somewhere relatively stormless?
Yeah, one would think. Meaning, not in the Midwest?
At this point in time, I can't... What, maybe the northern tip of Maine doesn't get tornadoed?
Yeah.
Oh, they get her a freaking cane, so no, that's out. California, no waterfalls there at all.
Yeah.
But then it'd just burn down.
Well, that's true. Take no place.
That's the curse of your big government, Carol.
There you go. But yeah, and then after it moved through, the temperature dropped about 40 degrees.
Well, see, that's what happened here. I mean, yesterday, Mother's Day, we went on the road, saw the grandbabies, that kind of thing, and driving through little itsy bitsy downtown Spencer, the sign on the community bank there said it was, and May the 10th, 94 degrees.
Yeah.
May I note that this is not, this ain't Spencer, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Or Spencer, Arizona. This is, whoa. So it's been hot and, ringing wet, humid here. And then it darked up out in the west, and I thought, ooh, I bet you something about to happen. And so I'm sort of sitting here waiting to hear the thunder and the blast of lightning and watch the internet go, screw it, and go run under the bed.
Well, I never lost my internet. Actually, I never lost my power, but it just rained buckets for hours on end. There was a creek down behind the shed where there isn't really supposed to be one. If it had kept up much longer, I'd have had to go rescue the mower.
Well, you know those signs they used to have when you go into small town America, welcome to Donut Center, it's a hole, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The I don't know, the busted knuckle callus scraping festival, capital of the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got a photograph last night. It was sent along to me by Jim, and it was sent to Jim by somebody out there. Well, it's a lovely little picture looking down a main street, all kinds of cars parked along the street and everything. Looks like a vibrant little community. Little sort of green, kind of brownish trees. And instead of saying welcome to Petaluma, it says, severe drought alert. Conserve water now.
Wow.
Report water waste. So, they're now, the city of Petaluma is now asking its citizens to rat out people out there watering their lawns. I mean, you see these folks coming out of prison, and
yeah.
and a lot of them have a tattoo that says "snitches get stitches."
Yes.
Well, that's usually somebody in prison who'll rat you out for keeping a shiv under your bunk, or having something improper, or it's the prison industrial complex.
Yes.
Well, now we're going to snitch people out for using too much water. And somehow or another, I'd like to think, Carol, that that's kind of a little warning to the rest of us. I mean, now
those private prisons aren't going to fill themselves, buddy.
Right. So, maybe
Maybe it's up to Pelican Bay for you sprinkler head.
Alice's restaurant. What are you in for? Watering the lawn.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for Tim, Tim from L.A., because now every time I mention that it rained, he said, "What? You mean water really comes out of the sky sometimes?"
It's like a jungle here. You can't mow fast enough to keep it down.
No, and well, the Appalachians are a temperate rainforest. We're a rock solid 60 inches plus per year, and. We go from end of winter dead yard to head high jungle grass like that.
Yeah, it's gonna take a machete to get all that down along the lakefront.
And you've got to get
a knife is you know that's.
I work
alone.
Right, and Cat Stevens out there working along the creek bank and all that stuff. No, that no good will come of that.
He's actually laying right here on my chest.
Oh, bless his little heart. Not out there tormenting Mama this evening, huh?
No, he's not. No dead animals on the porch so far.
That's too hot. The fishing will be better later.
No, it's cool out now. I thought he'd be out roaming the neighborhood, but here he is.
Maybe he's just all wore out.
He probably is. He looks like he could crash and burn any minute. But he's listening to you. His ear keeps flicking every time you say his name.
I can't even get a good ear flick out of our cat. She's just... No, she's kind of beside herself. Agnes is off on assignment right now. And I spent the night last night opening the bedroom door and closing it, letting her out, letting her in. Kept looking for the boss. So.
Well, please assure Agnes that I did not lay a finger on Chico, but I did permit him to polish my headlights.
Is that what they call it now?
Yep.
Well, Carol Baker, it's awful good to hear from you.
You too.
Have yourself a lovely evening.
I shall. Take care, everybody.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. From out among the wilds of Lake Hooterville, the one, the only, Carol Baker. It's about 11 minutes before the hour. Nobody, I might add, has stepped up to answer our anonymous contributor's matching call for the $50 contribution that went in. We got $150 to go, and, well, that's what we got to do every evening. PayPal interface is at the contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you, everyone, who has contributed this month and every month. If you haven't in a nice long while, this would be a great time. Just saying. Let's run back over to the Gizmo line, where we have Jim Denver. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
Oh, not a heck of a lot. How about you?
Just kind of getting used to the new weather scene. I mean, we had like 6, 7, 8 days of rain and doing a little snow, which is like quite a shock to my system, being, you know, from Louisiana. Snow in May? Excuse me?
Well, I guess you can have that.
Huh?
Yeah, you can have snow in May in Denver.
Yeah, I know. I just found out. In fact, if I was a little bit more out there, it would have been a little bit heavier. But, times I've seen snow, I mean, in New Orleans you'd see it. You know, snow would qualify, some frozen rain falling on the ground and sticking for about 6 or 8 hours. There was a pretty good snowstorm, 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, Vegas got, you know, I was living in Vegas at the time, and Vegas got snow. I was doing time 15 years. I lived in Vegas. We got snow one time. And apparently New Orleans did too, so maybe it was the same weather system or whatever. But, so I guess that's some, actually it's kind of interesting. I'm looking forward to many years of getting used to snow. So, but, let's see, May, I heard somewhere where they even had snow in like June or July. Or do you know anything about that? You not being a meteorologist?
As Jim Inhofe is fond of saying, I'm not a scientist. it wouldn't surprise me, though, Jim.
Yeah, no, because we're so high up. But, I mean that more than one way. What do you think about Bush 3 running? Do you think he has a chance? Yeah, I guess he does. The Republican Party's so whacked out. There's so many 15 candidates running or whatever it is.
Who?
Huh?
You said who? How do I feel about who running?
Bush 3?
Oh, Jebby?
Yeah, Jebby.
Actually, his name is, and since during the campaigns in the past two presidential campaigns, the White Wing has made such a big to-do out of saying Barack Hussein Obama, we are henceforward going to refer to people by their proper names. That would be John Bush. Do you know that?
What kind of Bush?
John.
He's not Jeb, he's John?
Yeah, he's John Edward Bush, hence they call him Jeb.
How do you get that? I don't understand.
John J. Edward E. Bush B. Jeb.
It's one of those inside family.
Yeah, he's not. It's not like his real name's Jebediah or something. No, his real name is John Ellis Bush. And I guess they call him Jeb because they didn't want to call him Jealous.
Well,
sure. No, he's got the old money. Scott Walker's got the Coke money, and everybody else is just nuts.
Well, how the hell Scott Walker got reelected?
Wisconsin people are decent people, and they felt like Scott Walker had not been given a decent enough chance to, a real fair chance to completely screw up Wisconsin. So they put him back into office, and then they reelected him because he wasn't done screwing up yet. And they didn't, and being nice folks, they didn't want to ruin his presidential ambitions because that would be a terrible thing to do to a sick, twisted misanthrope like Scott Walker.
Can I ask you and rest of the Pawn Boys / chat group, are we that much smarter than the rest of the public?
Yes. The average IQ of the Horn Horn Family Commune Congregation and the Gathering of Malloy Truth Seekers is a rock solid 100 points above. Well, it's about 1,000 points above any birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger, booger eater, bircher, libertarian, because they operate in negative numbers. But the average IQ of a talk radio listener, yeah, we're about 100, 200 points above.
That's goddamn scary. I mean, I noticed that, the mere fact that, pull a name out of my head, Rush Limbaugh is still on is incredible to me.
I don't realize the financial
backing he has to keep him on the air, but
all of those right wing blatherers have been quietly supported for years by the think tanks. The Heritage Foundation carried Flush Limbaugh's sorry ass for eons. I mean, there's no way you can hustle There's no way you can hustle Bose Wave radios and Snapple and vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls. You cannot sell enough of those things to account for the salaries that that program generates. I mean, good God Almighty, you can't sell enough of those things to account for the $50 million a year that great bag of pustulant gas himself makes.
Okay, this is a sacrifice, but if Rush Limbaugh wants to give me $1 million, I won't call your show or Molloy show or any liberal show for a year.
Oh, my. Wait, for a year?
For a year. It's time to put up or shut up.
I think if I were you, I'd make that pitch to the Heritage Foundation.
I mean, the one guy I kind of like because he's so whacked and he's so old now is Pat Robinson. And then, like, you get, like, these... I think Molloy pointed out, maybe you did, he must be... They're kind of like people just call in and they present these absurd situations, you know, like... I mean, I was just thinking of the one before I called you. One would be... Well, me and my gay lover, we're going to get married, but there's this other guy, and we want to make it a threesome marriage. And that would be somebody speaking outside the box. It would be a mother or a father calling in saying, oh, it's bad enough you're gay, but what do you feel, Pat? What do you feel the implications of a three-way marriage between men. Can you do a Pat Robinson imitation real quick?
Yeah, I haven't studied him enough to. No, I can't.
Yeah. But, that realm, you know, thank goodness I didn't. And I've watched episodes of the 700 Club because what's so weird about it is you get drawn into it just by the stupidity, the idiocracy of it. And actually, talking to that, I just thought, in other religions too, because basically this is the one true faith, this is the one you believe. Unfortunately, I see how people can kind of fall for it. I wish people would get more authenticated or Molloyized, but I'm trying to pass on the word.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, that's until we get our great big George Soros money check, that the only way we're going to ever grow the only way we grow the Horn Family Commune congregation is by word of mouth.
Yeah. Do you think he even really cares, or he just thinks he'll just that's George Soros?
Who, George? George is out there. George funds foundations, and then the foundations filter it down, that kind of thing. But no, I mean, they don't, look, we don't, our side doesn't fund things the way the right does. If you ever get a chance, tune in. If you can listen for more than 5 minutes, I congratulate you. But listen to Mark Levin. Not Mark Levine. We used to run Mark Levine on this network. He doesn't sound obnoxious. Mark Levin he's got what we call in the business a voice made for print. It's like tiny nails going through your eardrums listening to him. And he's a hardcore right-wing teabagging asshat into the bargain. So,
The guy has about as much business being behind a microphone as I have nude modeling, okay? Understanding
well,
that,
well,
the guy is filthy rich because he has, and he's on all kinds of radio stations all across the country, not because he's got good ideas, but because he is wonderfully funded by the right wing. Now, there are a couple of people who are managing to do that, and they're doing it's the exact model. There's a guy doing allegedly pro-labor radio who is absolutely unlistenable. I mean, you can't stand it. You just, if you turn on the program while you're in the car, you are at profound risk for falling asleep and hitting a telephone pole or another car, or running off the road into a ditch. And the
guy, is he a true liberal, or is he just corporate?
I mean, he really believes in labor. It's just that he's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, but what he really is a he's a really, really good hustler. And so he's gotten a bunch of money from labor, and I guess he's on. He buys his way onto stations all over the country. And, you know, God bless him, he's getting some semblance of the message out there. But, you know, like, to compare him, I mean, you want to talk about a labor voice, you know, Rick Smith is a labor voice. And the guy can't touch him. The guy can't touch him. It's, I mean, as radio qua radio, it's just unbearably bad. But it's working for him.
Yeah. As usual, you always give me I feel like breaking into a couple of verses of Mighty Python's "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life."
You know, I'm just a little. I am just a little ray of sunshine in the late afternoon in the twilight. By the way, Kevin wants you to know, Kevin in Colorado Springs. He says, tell Jim that we do occasionally see snow here on the Front Range in June. It snowed here one June 2nd about 10 years ago, and I've also seen it snow here as early as August 31st. That happened back in 07 on the same day that Princess Diana was killed, or 97. Get used to the weather, Jim, because if you don't like it just or not, wait 5 minutes or so, and it'll change.
Oh, I know. It's beautiful today. We had like 6-7 days of rain pretty much, and then that after that, beautiful, and it's going to be it's not bad now. In fact, I got my window open and just got back after taking care of some business. You don't believe it's always surprising when you move all the crap you got to deal with. But no, so far I'm liking it. You know, it's.
Oh, by the way, Jim, you opened a little window to for our buddy Michael in Madison to get through. He wrote in regarding your mention, our discussion about Jeb Bush, J-E-B, Bush. Michael says, I always say that Jeb, J-E-B, will never win the obsessive-compulsive disorder vote. Saying Jeb Bush is redundant because John Ellis Bush, it's like saying John Ellis Bush. That's what it means, Jeb Bush, John Ellis Bush. And Michael notes that it's redundant, like PIN number, because PIN stands for personal identification, number, or ATM machine. ATM standing for automatic teller machine. And people say ATM machine, automatic teller machine. And Michael says, 4 years of that would make me and millions of others nuts. Our OCD disorders will only get worse.
Oh, I know, but the ignorance of the American people, I'm just going to go back to Bush, too. And I voted for, like I told you in 2000, I voted for Nader. I thought there was no way in freaking hell it would be close enough for them to steal, which they did, but it is. And there's that huge segment that just always goes, I can't explain it. You know, I mean, if you look at the statistics, everything's been going down since, you know, the Republican, you know, late Nixon, even, you know, just da-da-da, and they just keep on chopping away, chopping away, chopping away on benefits, on everything. It's the epitome of pure evil. I mean, what they're doing to people on food stamps and stuff, and just the rest of humanity in this country, never mind the bombs we've been dropping on, two or three countries for the last 10, 12 years. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. And I wish Bush Jr. would just forget and somehow take a flight over somewhere and the egg, and that'd be cool. See him in chains. So on that note, I'm gonna let you go.
All right, sounds good, Jim. I hope you got a good coat, you know, for the limited amount of time you're gonna need it yet.
I got one for the winter, one for the summer. Check you later.
All right, you take care. That's our buddy Jim Denver. No, it's Jim, formerly of Louisiana Stan, now known as Jim Denver. It is 8 minutes past the hour, and we've still got morans o'plenty. And we're still trying to reach the evening's fundraising goal, and we're $150 from it. Not kidding. That really is how we keep this all on the air. And getting into a hole this early in the week is not a good sign. Let's see. All right. Yeah, this looks worth it. Yeah, okay. Little long-distance dedication going out to Michael and Madison. If you want to fire up the phones, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. This is Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, well, before the snarky email comes in, the bumper was chosen for the use of the word obsession, not the sleep with me part, and that, so, because we don't do that kind of long-distance dedication around here, I mean, just saying. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Let's run over to the Skype line and talk to, I'll bet you it's Jim. Is that you, Jim?
That's me, Butch. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Well, speaking of Petaluma, not having any water, mine's been cut off, and my whole neighborhood's cut off. So, I mean, I was filling up these circular cube ice trays, which are great to go down and drink, and I said, oh, shit, there it is.
Well, I mean, is it routine maintenance, or has...
Who knows? Who knows? I called 911. The guy said, well, the whole area is out of water. I said, well, thank you, sir. I know you've got loads to lift, no time to drift, so I appreciate the information.
I'll be damned. I wonder, well.
And some fool out here in the back has a huge fire built, and his kids are out there with a blanket sending up smoke signals.
Stop it. What? Really?
Yes.
Do you still remember your Morse code?
Oh, yeah. They don't.
So in other words, whatever they're smoke signaling up is coming out like a cat walking on a keyboard?
That's basically it, I guess. You know, they're just learning their Morse code. So what can I say? They're just kids out there playing. At first, I thought it was going to start to rain, and then I saw this huge column of smoke coming up, and I said, oh, my God, we got a volcano somewhere underneath the Titanic plates, and it's decided to erupt here. My luck.
Never a dull moment in Beckley.
No, hell no. Hell no.
Well, you got me all curious now. I'm gonna be looking to see what the cause of the outage was. I mean,
well, I thought you might be interested.
I mean, it's not like a water main froze or anything.
Well, they don't know. They don't know. And I just thanked the guy cordially, and I said, well, let's hope we'll get it back. Luckily, I keep a lot of spare water around here. I have for a number of years.
Oh, we do. We do the same. We try to never get below 20 gallons.
And if push comes to shove, I've got a 42-gallon fish tank that I just took a python and completely changed all the water, so it's drinkable. No, hell, I can't because I put algae killer in it. No, that's okay. Well, I'm sure it'll be good with scotch.
Well, yeah, I was going to say a little algae killer in the scotch, you know. You remember the scene from Mr. Roberts? Remember with Henry Fonda and Jack Lemmon? The scene where they're using alcohol from the torpedo room to make a similitude of scotch.
They got the
grain alcohol there, and they put in a couple of drops of Coca-Cola for flavor or for color, and then the doc looks at Mr. Roberts and says, "What did scotch always taste like to you?" And, "Well, doc, it always tastes like iodine to me." "Me too." And a couple of drops of iodine go into the, yeah, and they've got an empty Johnny Walker bottle, and they're going to use that to impress the nurses.
Yes, Lord, that's perfect. I love that bumper music. That reminds me of a film I saw. What was it, Rick and Steve or Paul and Steve or whatever it was? It was the opening intro to it. You're My Obsession.
Yeah, and I'm trying to... who was the band there? That was Animotion. Animotion.
Right, right, right. And that's when one guy meets the other guy, they're in some disco bar in New York in the 1980s or something like that. And so, you know, as on the story goes, you know, it was a good movie. It was definitely a good movie. One I haven't seen in a long time, but I certainly enjoyed it. And when I heard that song, I said, my God, there. And, you know, it goes through the travails of these two guys falling in love, getting married, and stuff like that. And it ends well. And it's, every time I hear that song, I always have a positive, warm feeling about the way at least that movie ended well. So I heard that and I said, well, my Lord, there it is.
Blast from your past.
There it is. I've got so many of those blasts from my past, it's like a damn hurricane around here. I tell you, I'm sure, you know, the older you get.
Oh, it piles up after a while, right?
Certainly does.
And it's not like you can, it's not like you can have a yard sale.
No, unfortunately, you can't. I enjoyed your conversations with Carol Baker, is that her name?
Yes.
Very intelligent woman, extremely articulate, well-spoken, and not without a degree of humor and satire, and she's always, well, I just enjoy hearing her badinage with you. Let's see. What issues should one address tonight? The lady from South Carolina, or let's see, who else?
What is it about them fine, upstanding ladies in South Carolina? One of them, who, one minute they're hooting about Obama setting off a nuke in Charleston Harbor, and the next thing you know, people from south of the Rio Grande, all of them, are rats and roaches.
I don't know. But I, let me ask you a question. What is the name of Lindsey Graham's plantation?
Oh, the name of Smoldering Chode?
Is that, I mean, that's kind of like from Annie Mae, there, you know, the plantation was called Peckerwood. Is that true?
I'm just having fun. Lindsay actually comes from, rather humble beginnings.
Yeah, he sort of was born on the wrong side of the track, so to speak. But nonetheless, you know, he's made his way into D.C., and, I just don't know what he did during Desert Storm. I'm not quite sure.
Well, he defended Columbia, South Carolina from the Republican Guard.
Oh, okay.
In his capacity as a United States Air Force Reserve Judge Advocate General, they were all set to call him up if they needed to prosecute some young airman for getting liquored up in the kingdom.
I see. Well, you know,
assuming that our partners in peace, the Saudis, didn't cut his head off first.
Right. Well, I just wondered exactly what he did. I had lost track of him, as I have so many things in South Carolina. As a matter of fact, not many people from South Carolina will even speak to me anymore.
Have they pulled your Palmetto card, Jim?
Bob, I never had one of them. Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, my dad was given the Order of the Palmetto. And
I'll be dipped. I didn't even know there was one. I was just being cute.
Yeah, that's one of the highest state civilian awards. He was mayor, and he was chairman of the law enforcement council, stuff like that. And he was the same man who used to go down to the prison and teach Sunday school to mainly black prisoners and stuff like that. Instead of going to church, that's what he did.
You know, I think he probably. I'm guessing he probably got more out of going and doing that than he did out of you know, going down to the church.
Oh, he told me that. He told me that, and you know, God bless him. But no, I guess I have a Palmetto card since I graduated from the Citadel, but.
Right.
I never hear much from them unless they want money. And so I think, well, nobody loves me anymore except I've got my two cats here.
Well, don't worry, with the election cycle coming up, Jim, you are not gonna be lonely in your email inbox. Every 15 minutes you're gonna get a new email saying, "Friend, do you have $3 to help poor Mrs. Clinton reach her fundraising goal for this quarter?"
From different sources today, I deleted them all. It was like 23 after I deleted them, 22 this morning. So that's a total of 45 or whatever. I mean, I've never seen such a blast for, what is it, $3 billion are expected to fill a $400,000 your office. Most important free man in the world. And I very much care who gets in there. And I can tell you the Republicans are certainly loaded up their, as you call it, their bandwagon to try to get on there. And who knows? The more they load up, the way I look at it is this, the more dissension there's going to be.
Well, I mean, what, they're up to 18 now, and it's fully expected that on June 1st, Lindsey's either going to announce that he's pregnant by John McCain or he's running for president?
Oh, you stole my thing. I was going to tell you that Lindsey has announced he's pregnant.
But, you know, there's some big political news out in West Virginia today. I don't know if you heard this or not, Jim.
What's his face? The guy who bought the Greenbrier?
Jim Justice is going to run. Jim Justice, who bought the Greenbrier, who sold out his mountaintop removal operations to the Russians and then bought them back when the ruble fell, and gave a whole bunch of money for the giant Boy Scout camp and intergalactic spaceport over here at Mount Hope, is going to run for governor of West Virginia.
Well, you know, I say the Greenbrier, but nonetheless, yeah, I saw that today, and I said, okay, well, Jim, go for it.
But here's the fun part. He's running as a Democrat, which means that I'm going to wind up having to cast another meaningless vote for a Mountain Party candidate.
You know, it really gets sad when you have to vote between the lesser of two evils, and, you know, it's just truly disheartening, just terribly disheartening. It certainly is.
I saw a couple of postings on Facebook earlier today, Jim, of good progressive West Virginians bemoaning the fact that Jim Justice is running for governor. And I just looked at it as a sort of natural progression of things. To wit, I see it as being a matter of, they're cutting out the middleman. It used to be that the coal industry would buy themselves a governor. Well, now, because the coal industry is having hard times, instead of buying a governor, they're just going to run a coal baron for governor and let us give them the money. This is MBA level economics.
Well, that's it. Very disheartening, extremely disenchanting, that's for sure. You know, I've always voted. I've always voted, except in my younger years when I was out too busy partying and having a party time wasting, having too much fun and couldn't get to the polls and really didn't care. But as I progressed into my...
Are you saying at that point in time the only polls you were getting near were the ones that had people dancing on them?
Not exactly, but that'll do.
Close enough for government work?
Close enough for government work.
Dadgummit, Jim, I feel so bad for you over there. Did you manage to get a few of the round ice cube trays filled?
I did, and as a matter of fact, they are extremely effective because they go straight down to the very bottom, and you know it's a pretty good product.
You mentioned that, and I thought of a story that I saw last week. There is a boutique industry that has raised up among people with more dollars than cents. It's big in D.C. It's big in New York. It's big in Seattle, of artisanal ice. And it's some sort of ice that's made in a machine that freezes the... I kid you not. I swear, Jim, I kid you not. It's ice that freezes from the bottom up instead of the top down, and it makes a perfect... And they're selling... It's like a dollar a damn cube in a bar for ice that is... it's like handcrafted, artisanal, perfectly clear ice. And It makes your cocktail ever so much more wonderfully cold and tasty.
Well, wonderful. I mean, what will they think of next?
No, that's the kind of what will they? This is fin de l'empire kind of innovation, right? This is
this, I don't know, party favors for the end of civilization.
Well, you may as well go out with a bang or whatever, if that's what they're going to do. You know, it's just amazing how the market is putting forth all these crazy things. And trouble is, I just wonder, who the hell's going to have the money to buy all this stuff, you know? On a sadder note, really. Of course, I guess there will always be people who have discretionary income that they can just get on the internet and just find anything they possibly can, or go any place.
Well, I left D.C. at the wrong time, because I would at least like to have been there for the giggle of having the bartender ask me, "Sir, would you like artisanal? Would you like artisanal ice in your double of Old Panther piss? It's only $1 a cube. Well, fill it up, Fred."
Well, they could just kiss my ice, and that's all I can say, you know? It's just absolutely incredible. But anyway, I just wanted to share a couple things with you. Going back to last week when you were talking about the celebration of the end of the Great Patriotic War in Moscow.
Yeah.
And how sad there were only two delegates, one from Venezuela, one from China.
That was a little embarrassing.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really do. I mean, regardless of the regime that followed that victory, still, if it weren't for those people, that would have been totally different.
The Second World War ends dramatically differently, absent Stalingrad. And remember, and I think it's because we don't remember... There were people back here at home, and there were people sitting in blitzed England who tuned in every night to find out what our allies, the Russians, were doing to hold back the Nazi threat at Stalingrad.
Oh, Bob, my mother used to walk on foot because she didn't have gas because of the rationing. But she used to walk on foot and collect blankets, canned meats, and stuff like that to send to the Russian army.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that we have a global geopolitical problem with Vladimir Putin. I mean, I don't really. We've got 300 official sworn to uphold the Constitution members of the military on the ground, and probably more. If you got 300, you probably got 3,000. Once you factor in the CIA, we've got them on the ground in Ukraine.
Well, I think I sent you an email. We are definitely fishing in the troubled waters there.
And yet the for-profit media, which has the attention span of an injured injured mouse, Is all, you know, ISIS, brooga, 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 brooga. When, you know, we don't want to get anything hot and fun going on over in that whole Ukrainian neck of the woods. We really don't.
No, we don't, because those people have known nothing but war ever since whenever. I mean, we'll just start with the First World War and see how many they lost. And then we go to the Second World War and see how many they lost. And look at the civil wars in between those two wars, and look at the purges and stuff like that. I mean, the Russian people, I don't like their government particularly. I don't like the way they treat people and stuff like that. But my heart and my sympathies are with the Russian people and the sufferings they have endured.
Well, and that's exactly my point, Jim. This is not about whether or not we like Vladimir Putin. This is about whether we could send, good God, what, Joe Biden was busy, really? Send somebody over there. Send John Kerry over. Just hoist a damn glass to the memory of 15 million human beings And not to mention, you know, and that's the dead, and there are still a few who yet survive.
Well, you know, it's like that end of that movie Patton, when Patton, of course, wouldn't drink with that general. And they finally got to the, you know, I don't know if it ever really happened or not. Patton probably could have. But, you know, he would drink from one son of a bitch to another. And at least there was that sort of, that form of camaraderie and that type of thing. And I wonder, why in the hell could we not have at least done that? And why do we have people in the Ukraine? We have enough problems here.
Well, and see, coming up in August, and I'm pretty sure we're not going to celebrate VJ Day the way they did VE Day in Moscow. VJ Day will come and go without so much as a blip on the national for-profit media radar. Because I think we kind of understand at this stage that for those of us who don't think that dropping the atomic devices on the civilian populations of Hiroshima and Nagasaki was outright wrong, that there is at least enough of we don't feel real good about it anymore. So you know there won't be any heroic parades in you know down Constitution Avenue or Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C. It'll just be something because why? You know maybe there'll be a little something some kind of ceremony down at the World War II Memorial that we had to struggle and scrape to get built. But that, you know, that'll be it. And of course, will we invite anybody from Russia to that? Yeah, probably not. But underneath all of that, and I know you get this, Jim, is this this idea that the West won the Second World War, and we didn't. I mean, granted, the Normandy invasion was a monumental logistic triumph. But the United States, Great Britain, and France lost 1.5 million people. That's a tenth of the number that the Soviet Union lost. And in a way, I think it's that we don't want to acknowledge. You there, Jim? Must have lost Jim. Oh, God, he lost his water. I hope he didn't lose his phone as well. So that's what makes it kind of shameful. And I would have... I'm glad Jim brought it up, but it deserves mention. You know, we can't... You know, that'd make Vladimir Putin look good. I don't think so. And by the way, talking about Jim Justice a moment ago, and this really does fit with More In Monday, Jim Justice is West Virginia's billionaire. And he will, as of today, announcing in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, down there where the Greenbrier is, he announced that he will run for the Democratic nomination for governor. A billionaire. In announcing his run, he said, "You need somebody that loves our state and somebody that doesn't want a nickel for doing it." National Petroleum Radio referred to him as a philanthropist worth $1.6 billion. And they said, "And also has vast agricultural holdings, but it's his operation of dozens of coal mines in 5 Appalachian states that's already an issue in his gubernatorial run." Because Jim Justice, you see, is a deadbeat. Jim Justice is a billionaire who won't pay his bills. Speaking of bills, thank you very kindly to Robert for joining in on fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very much, giving company to our anonymous contributor who kicked things off this evening. That means we have $130 to go in fundraising this evening, $30 to go to match the anonymous contribution that began the evening. It'd be great if in the next 23 minutes or so we could at least finish the fundraising for the evening. I'm sorry to even beat on it like this, But if you want the horn to be there, there you go. And thanks to Josh, who helped us finish off last week as of yesterday. Thank you, Josh. Gerald pointing out via message, talking about Jim Justice, I have a problem voting for someone who leaves the vendors hanging on their bills. Those folks need paid, too. Gerald does point out he's running as a Democrat, so he couldn't be any worse than GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin. Do you remember back when I mentioned that Joe Manchin said he wasn't going to run for governor and he felt like he could do more good things for West Virginia in the Senate? And I said, I wonder who he's decided to screw or what kind of a deal he's cut. Well, we found out today. Mm-hmm. He stays in the Senate. Jim Justice runs for governor. And GERT retires quietly to the family estate down in South Methistan. It should be fun. Of course, there is a reasonably, a halfway decent progressive who may run for governor, out of the former Senate President Jeff Kessler. And you can actually sit down and have a conversation with that guy. So naturally, he probably doesn't have a prayer. Mine Safety and Health News reports that Jim Justice failed to pay close to $2 million in government mine safety penalties. Remember, he's run mountaintop removal operations, so that means that he's had a hand in the poisoning of God knows how many thousands of West Virginians, whose governor he hopes to be. In particular, the mines that were fined had an injury rate in the previous 5 years, double the average rate for coal mines. Naturally, the West Virginia Republican Party has begun attack ads against him. Yeah, because they got somebody with clean hands that wants to run. Yeah. What's happening in the clean world? On the other hand, they're pushing back. Tom Lusk is chief operating officer of Southern Coal, and he said, Jim is an individual that does not run from his obligations. No, he walks quietly away and gets in his Maybach and drives off. He's made it abundantly clear that there's no way we're not going to fully meet and satisfy these obligations someday when he gets around to it. And pigs fly. Mr. Lusk noted that he's met with regulators to develop a formal payment plan, because a guy worth $1.6 billion, he has to make payments. Yes, as a matter of fact, he's a deadbeat, like the Donald. Only he doesn't have the... if you haven't, look it up. There's a post out there flying around in the Internet. I keep seeing it popping up on Facebook. Donald Trump's hair found living in Amazon rainforest. It's worth your time, trust me. 19 minutes before the hour. Little time left if you want to jump into the conversation. 304-663-4676 is the one number, the other being 304-574-8178, and, of course, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. How about a little case update out of Alabama Stan? You know, you can ask anybody in Alabama Stan. They'll tell you that hard work builds character, unless it kills you. And sometimes it kills you. It was 2012 when we featured the story of a little girl in Etowah County, Alabama. she had a dangerous condition, a dangerous health condition, I suppose diabetic. 9 years old, Savannah Harden was, note use of past tense. And she had, because, you know, children aren't adults, and hell, even adults don't always do the right thing for themselves health-wise. She had snuck some candy and cookies. Mm-hmm. Which was dangerous for her. And when Grandma Grandma Joyce Harden Garrard, 50 years old, when Grandma, being the upstanding, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-centered lady that she was, when she found out that her precious little 9-year-old grandbaby had lied to her about eating cookies and candy, well, she didn't whoop her. She didn't beat her. She didn't take the belt to her. No. She gave her an armload of wood and set her to running. And she ran her for at least 3 hours. Neighbors saw her in the yard shouting at her, "Come on, run! Run them cookies off! Run that candy off! You did. You lied to me. Jesus don't like it when you lie. No. Oh, don't you slow down. Don't you slow down. You keep running, sugar. You felt fine enough to eat them cookies and that candy. You feel fine enough to do you some running this afternoon. You keep running, baby." And then. Then her granddaughter collapsed and died. And since it did not involve any freedom protecting or firearms, the people who formed the grand jury of the county of Etowah in and for the state of Alabama, being duly sworn, returned an indictment against Grandma Joyce Harden Garrard of capital murder in the first degree. Which is, of course, deliberate murder. Cold-blooded murder. Took the jury 3.5 hours after the trial, 8 men and 4 women, to come to the unanimous decision that Joyce Harden Garrard, Granny, was guilty of first-degree murder. Then they, of course, had to have what's called the penalty phase, in which they decided whether or not to kill her for killing her 9-year-old granddaughter. And them 8 men and 4 women, well, they had the death chamber available to them. But, you know, Grandma was only trying to do the right thing by her granddaughter. And so they decided that they'd give her life in prison without parole. The jury voted five of the twelve voted to kill her, and 7 voted to stick her in life for prison. So life in prison won 7-5. Of course, you got to understand the district attorney, Jimmy Harp, hadn't been arguing for the death penalty. He wanted Grandma to spend life in prison without opportunity for parole, because it's the right thing to do. After all, Granny was white. Jimmy Harp said, I stand behind what the jury recommended. We talked about the death penalty, but life inside of Julia Tutwiler prison until the point in time when you cease to exist is a death sentence to me. Of course, he doesn't argue that in other kinds of cases. It's not a death sentence if he wants the person murdered in the name of the state of Alabama. Now, here's the interesting thing. Part of the evidence adduced at trial, the defendant took the stand in her own behalf. And, interestingly, the jury said that they did not find her credible because she testified that she never forced her granddaughter to run, that the little 9-year-old, bless her heart, got caught up in her sins. And she just decided to grab an armload of wood and run it off herself. And she just ran and ran until her little heart couldn't stand it no more. Granny's defense attorney, Danny Bone, said she was glad that the judge followed the recommendation of the jury. But he is going to appeal her conviction. Now, how do I know that Granny subjected her daughter to this punishment as a good Christian woman? Well, defense lawyer Danny Bones said after the trial, Joyce, that's Granny, Joyce handled this like a Christian woman with strong faith, and I'm very proud. I'm proud of her. She's a Christian woman with strong faith, and she run her 9-year-old daughter straight to death, and she stood there and swore she never made her run in court, and I'm just so proud. I'm very proud, and I'm going to appeal because she don't need to be spending life in prison. At the very worst, she was just trying to teach some upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered values to that little 9-year-old. Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. You don't want to know what they would have done had Joyce Harden Garrard been melanin enhanced. They interviewed the jury foreman after the trial. He said he just didn't find Granny credible when she said that she didn't make the child run. Matt Keener is a 38-year-old truck driver from Coates Bend, Alabama. And he was the foreman. He'd never been on jury before. And he only got to be foreman because he volunteered for it. Never volunteer, son. Because he said, I'll do it if nobody else will. What pushed it over the edge for him, they said, was the neighbors testifying that that little Savannah, the little 9-year-old girl, kept a running and pleading with Granny to let her stop. Yeah. Granny testified for 2 hours. And apparently the jury didn't like it because when they played the 911 tape, Granny could be heard saying, "Give me a smoke." Yeah, my little granddaughter just collapsed in the yard. Give me a smoke. Didn't lend the air of urgency that the jury wanted. And see, after the girl collapsed to the ground, the other part of the testimony was that Granny, who you will recall is a Christian woman with strong faith, after the 9-year-old had collapsed to the ground, Granny kept hollering, "Get up! Run! I didn't tell you to lay down! Get up! Get running! Put one foot in front of the other! Oh, you strong enough to eat that candy bar! Get up and run!" Mm-hmm. Because Jesus. Now, bless her heart, when she gave a statement before she was sentenced, she said, "The only thing I would change would be my granddaughter being with me as always. What you give me is what I'll have to do." Of course, she knew there wasn't any way they was going to send her to the chair. Or, I'm sorry, the horizontal crucifixion. Because the fix was in after all the her being a Christian woman and everything. The district attorney had already said that life inside of Julia Tutwiler prison, that's a death sentence to me. Interesting scale there, right? Oh, and by the way, just on the way out the door, and thank you, Sal, for jumping in and helping out. We are now only $125 away from meeting the fundraising goal for the evening. That's the size of the hole we'll be in by the end of the program or the start of tomorrow's. Just on the way out the door, next time you hear some idiot hollering about what a socialist Kenyan Muslim you slurper that Obama is, and how he won't let us develop our energy independence. This. As of today, the Obama administration has given conditional approval. Drill, baby! Drill! To let Shell Gulf of Mexico, Inc., which is not exactly an inspiring name in the first place, to start drilling in the melted Arctic. In the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas, which are said to hold vast reserves of oil and gas. Abigail Ross Hopper, Director of the Interior Department's Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, not the Bureau of Ocean Management, Ocean Energy Management, Sunshine, said, "We have taken a thoughtful approach to carefully considering potential exploration in the Chukchi Sea, recognizing the significant environmental, social, and ecological resources in the region, and establishing high standards for the protection of this critical ecosystem, our Arctic communities, and the subsistence needs and cultural traditions of Alaska Natives. As we move forward, any offshore exploratory activities will continue to be subject to rigorous safety standards." So it's just a matter of time until the rigorous safety standards start washing up on the shores of, well, are there any shores? It's kind of all melted, hasn't it? But there might be some shores up there round and about. And, well, it's only a matter of time until those rigorous safety standards start coating waterfowl and caribou and, oh, I don't know, the occasional whale and seal and sea lion and otters and fish and Because they've got rigorous safety standards. Sure they do. Sure they do. And it just came 4 months after the Obama administration said drill, baby, drill for a part of the Atlantic coast. Hey, I just had a report from a good friend of mine who told me he had just been down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Guess what was rolling up on the beach? Yeah, tar balls. Uh-huh. Cool. We're fucked. Mm-hmm. Time to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who keeps all of this going. Thank you for sharing your time and listening to the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly indeed to Lottie and Sparky and our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and 8MAC.org. Thank you indeed. Remember, the ACT Act petition is still live at act.credoaction.com. Go and share it around. Many, I'm sure most everybody signed it by now. We got a chance of getting 150,000 signatures on this thing. Keep it moving. And you'll keep the struggle for Appalachian justice alive. Good point, Devin. Shouldn't the law protect polar bears? They are white, after all. Mm-hmm. Y'all have a good evening. And remember, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.